Are we ready? Okay.
Yeah, we have more questions.
We have a few more stories.
You want 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Good morning. Please silence your cell phones or electronic devices as we listen to Diane's prelude this morning. Beautiful way to start the day. Good morning again. Oops, hold on. I just turned everything upside down. So here it is, Pentecost Sunday, and good job wearing red. I tried to wear red, but I'm maroon instead. Please register your attendance on the sheets that are listed or that are found in the center aisles, put your name on it, pass it down the row, and then if there's anyone new, visiting or new, please put your email or phone number or something in case we need to contact you. This morning, we welcome as our pulpit guest, Lonnie McBee. We're going to hear about her experiences in Malawi on that mission trip that she took in March. After the service, everyone is invited to the fellowship hall to enjoy some cake and tea the Malawian way with milk and sugar. Yum. If you're planning on attending the women's retreat in September, all ladies need to register by July 21st. The registration forms are on the bulletin board out in the hallway outside the church office. Also, this is kind of scary. In order to continue the pumpkin patch, we need 2 people to co-chair, to be co-chairs of the patch. And let's see, if you are interested in doing this, if you're so inclined to volunteer, please see Mark Williams before the next board meeting on Monday, June 12th. Mark your calendars for the Boy Scouts yard sale on Saturday, June 10th, and you can read more about the details on that in the bulletin. Be sure to look over the printed calendar of events in the bulletin in case I missed something. And what happened was I had some extra announcements and I wrote it on the wrong piece of paper. That's how come I was confused. We need to put Erica Stupak on the prayers today. She was attacked by a Rottweiler this morning and she was out walking. And so prayers of healing and recovery for her. She was walking Blake, which poor little Blake had a rough week. He fell at preschool this last week and broke his collarbone. So he's in a, what did you call it, a figure eight brace. So here she was trying to protect him from the dog and someone got it and it was her. I think we have someone to sing to today. Somebody, I'll call you in just a second. We have, I think someone's turning 5. Colin, it's your birthday. We're going to sing to you, okay? Okay. I think you look five already. Mike has an announcement.
As chairman of the Boy Scout Troop 13 that we sponsor, last Thursday the boys worked at Pizza Ranch, and I want to thank those that came out and supported the troop. Thursday they raised $650, and that money will be used for fuel expenses for them to go to Wisconsin to summer camp. So that's what the Pizza Ranch was for, and that's what the yard sale, garage sale, the funds for that will also be used for gas money. And they're also doing something similar at Serendipity Ice Cream on Father's Day. So again, thank you for your support, and the troop truly appreciates it. Thanks.
Also, Group 3 on this Thursday, instead of meeting at the Silver Fox, they will meet at Terry Morrison's. So that's Group 3 on Thursday. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, then let's stand and greet those around us, and then we're going to sing page 461, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
keep your hymnal out and turn to page 240. This will be our call to worship this morning. Spirit of God, we have gathered together in this place to pray and to make ourselves ready for your coming. Give us faith. Give us courage that we may fear the tongues of flame. Give us an open mind, Lord, that the truth you bring may make its home with us.
Truth to set us free, truth to guide us and inform us, truth to lead us in the way of your will.
Give us an open heart, Lord,
that we may see all people for your realm, and set no limits to the proclaiming of your word.
Holy Spirit, with the whole church, we wait for you in every place and in every congregation. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose image lies in the hearts of all people, we live among people whose ways are different from ours, whose faiths are foreign to us, whose tongues are unintelligible to us. Help us to remember that you love all people with your great love, that all religion is an attempt to respond to you, that the yearnings of other hearts are much like our own and are known to you. Help us to recognize you in the words of truth, the things of beauty, the actions of love about us. We pray through Christ, who is a stranger to no one land more than another, and to every land no less than another, who taught us all to pray, singing, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Can be seated. Our hymn of prayer this morning is found on page 442 in your hymnal.
Good morning. Hi, Rick. Just wanted to give you a little direction on this song. It is a little bit confusing following how it goes in the hymnal. Once you get to that page, you'll see it says, we are walking. The three verses that we are singing are walking, praying, and singing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I did that right. Okay. Now, the first part, it says, we are walking in the light of God. We are walking in the light of God. You'll see a little number one above there. That means to go back to the beginning. So go back to the beginning. Then we are walking in the light of God. The next time, we go down to the bottom, and we repeat that twice. It sounds kind of funny, but I'll be singing on the microphone, so you'll kind of get it. The words are very repetitive, so I think it'll just flow for you. So we'll try it. Here we go. And, of course, this is a song from Africa, so it's pretty cool. Gives you a taste of how they sing there.
We are walking in the light of God.
Children can now leave for Children's Church. You can follow Mrs. Grooms downstairs for activities and Veggie Tales. There's also nursery care downstairs if anybody needs that. Our card shower this morning is for Jack Waltz. Jack has moved to Cheyenne to be closer to family. You'll find his new address listed in the bulletin. Prayers of sympathy for the family of Shirley Volker, who passed away last Monday. Her graveside service was Thursday with Paul Halleck officiating. Private family services for Dorothy Jones will be June 16th. We continue prayers for Charles McBride. He was released from the hospital in Munich on Tuesday, and they resumed their travels, leaving for Berlin on Thursday. And the report from Cynthia is that he's back to his old self, and both of them are feeling fine. We mentioned about Erica Stupak, so we'll put her in the prayers this morning. Mark Steinle began his chemo treatments this past week. Mary Burgess had cataract surgery this week and is doing well. And we mentioned about Blake falling and breaking his collarbone. It's a good thing those little ones heal quickly. Ed Struby had his ablation last Thursday in Colorado, and he was released from the hospital. He stopped in Cheyenne on his way home yesterday and was inducted into the Lions Club Hall of Fame. Do you have any other prayer concerns? Keith? Okay.
And I'd also like to pray for peace in the world right now.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone? Trish? Whoop.
I'd like prayers for Nate Gaydor. He's a young man that's just been diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh. Trish? Awesome. That's your cousin? Cousin Lori. Okay, baptized in the Jordan River. Anyone else? Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Thank you, God, for leading us and giving up your life so that we might be restored to an intimate, everlasting fellowship with you. As we meet together in this place, help us to listen, to understand, and to remember. Make us aware that we are meeting not simply with one another, but with you. As we pray, may it be just like speaking with you. As we listen, help us to concentrate so that we really hear your word, and help us to take it in and retain all that we hear, see, and experience this morning. Lord, we lift up the families of Dorothy Jones and Shirley Volker, and we pray that their loved ones find peace during this difficult time, knowing that you are watching over them and that they find comfort in the memories of these lives. We pray for healing for those with illnesses and surgeries, for those going through cancer treatment, those unspoken prayer needs, as well as all of the prayers that we mentioned this morning. We lift up your hearts to you for your individual touch and the assurance that you know and you care. Make us more sensitive to you, God, and to one another. We pray for world peace, that there won't be so much violence and hate in the world. Give us courage to be merciful and faithful, just as you are with each one of us. It is in the name of the one true and everlasting God that we pray. Amen.
Churches change the world. Start more. Planting a church can make a huge and lasting impression in the community it serves. Since its inception, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ has proudly served its communities by proclaiming the gospel, praying for the disenfranchised, caring for the poor, marching for social justice, empowering the oppressed, and moving for hope and wholeness in a fragmented world. For this reason, Churches Change the World, Start More is the theme for the 2017 Pentecost offering. As a Disciples Church planter and the current minister of New Church Strategies for Hope Partnership for Missional Transformation, I have personally witnessed the impact that a church can have on its community. To date, the Christian Church has started 980 churches in the United States and Canada, thus sharing the gospel with more than 61,500 individuals since initiating the 2020 vision in 2000. The goal is to start 1,000 new congregations in 1,000 different ways. Although we are close to accomplishing this task, we can't stop there. Planting 1,000 churches is just the beginning. We must continue our journey by setting our sights higher, equipping courageous leaders, and planting even more churches. I encourage you to help actively change the world by supporting the Pentecost offering, Sundays June 4th and June 11th. Each year, half of the offering is designated to your local region area in an effort to start and sustain new churches. The other half is used by Hope Partnership to support the recruitment, assessment, training, and coaching of new church leaders at events like Leadership Academy. With your support, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ will continue to change the world. Sincerely, Terrell L. McTyre.
I might need that. There's a certain thrill to be letting in, to be let in, isn't there? I know that although there's usually quite an urgency when my dog Rosie needs to go outside, it's always far more exciting for her to be let back in. That's what the Pentecost experience was all about, and it's exactly why churches draw to folks from all walks of life. It's because we heard Jesus' message loud and clear: everyone should be let in. It's fundamental to the gospel of Jesus Christ that everyone is not only welcome but accepted at the family table. What you do and how you do it is your life's journey and may be a rich topic for discussion at the table. But your presence at this table is not up for discussion. God has let us into the house, and that's that. I believe in my heart that on that first Pentecost day, when everyone heard the gospel being proclaimed in their own language, that even the dogs of Jerusalem heard the good news, that they were invited into the house, the household of God. So on this Pentecost day, let us remember that not only is the entire household of God, but especially this: the dining room table is open to all. Hear that as good news in the rush of the wind, whether it be in your native tongue of Spanish, German, English, West African, or in the howls and barks of our fury friends. You are all welcome here. Come on in. During the summer months, we share communion by intinction. You'll come forward up the center aisle and partake. You'll take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. Take it and then return to your seat on the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, someone will bring the communion tray to you. Please place your tithes and offerings and prayer cards in the offering trays that are up front here as you come forward. Now turn to page 393 and sing as we prepare for communion. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, blessed it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you'll proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray.
At Pentecost, O God, we give thanks for the church and its survival through the centuries. Thank you for its continuing influence in human life as we open ourselves to the indwelling of your Spirit. Bless, O God, these elements which we share in rededication of our salvation. May we experience individually the blessing of the Holy Spirit that we might live Spirit-filled lives in the week to come. Amen.
Let us pray for our offering. Lord God, we offer before you our gifts of gratitude and love. Shower these gifts with your blessing and accept them as you also accept us. May they be used to fulfill your will and care for our brothers and sisters. Amen.
So we wanted to do something African-ish, but couldn't really find anything. So the song we're going to do today is kind of gospel, kind of spiritual, which you know, kind of comes from Africa too. So this song is called Low Down Chariot. Low Down the Chariot.
Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot,
hey Lord, why don't you?
Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot, let me ride. Low down the chariot, let me ride.
Ride on.
Do-ba-do,
I don't want to rest at Lodi Ride. So when you break on through that golden sky, please don't slow it down, don't pass me by. Swing that chariot way down low. I want to glow like Elijah when I go. Ride on.
Let me ride, low down the chariot, let me ride, oh,
low down the chariot,
let me ride,
low down the chariot,
let me ride, low down the chariot, let me ride, low down the chariot, let me ride.
The scripture, the first reading of in the New Testament, excuse me, Old Testament today is Matthew 25, verse 35 through 36, and you can find it in the Pew Bible on page 29. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Well, I feel right at home now after that song, that special music. So thank you, ladies. I really enjoyed that. And I'd like to welcome everyone on this beautiful Sunday morning. And thank you for coming along with me on as we journey through the warm heart of Africa. One way for me to share my journey with you is through the pictures that I've taken. And I know that one picture is worth 1,000 words, so I have at least 5 novels worth downstairs. So please join me down there, and we will also be enjoying cake and tea the Malawian way with milk and sugar. As many of you know, my daughter Kim is a nursing instructor at the University of Jamestown, a private Presbyterian college in North Dakota. In 2005, the college began sponsoring mission trips to Africa for their senior nursing students. Kim has accompanied them on 4 trips, and this year she invited me to go along to see firsthand the beauty of Malawi and to meet people who have become her lifelong friends. And so it was on March 17th that 13 of us began our journey to Malawi, where we would spend the next 3.5 weeks. Malawi is in the southeast corner of Africa. It is populated by over 17 million people, crammed into 46,000 square miles, one-third of which is occupied by Lake Malawi. Compare this to Wyoming, populated by only 586,000 people, spread out over almost 98,000 square miles. Malawi is the smallest and the least developed country in Africa and among the most poverty-stricken. It is sometimes described as an island of poverty. The life expectancy there is about 50 years of age, coupled with a high infant mortality rate and a prevalence of HIV and AIDS. But in spite of this, they possess a culture that is very rich in music, dance, and art. Because of the generosity of many people, we brought $19,000 with us on our mission trip to be divided among the 3 organizations with whom we worked, specifically Nakoma Hospital, the Peanut Butter and Jesus Project, and the Ministry of Hope of Malawi. In addition, $5,000 was raised to purchase an AccuVane, or a vein finder, for the hospital. This was an important piece of equipment because it's very difficult to find a vein on a person with dark skin, and especially when you're dealing with a baby that's dehydrated. This has made it possible for them to do 1 poke, and they're done. We also brought baby blankets, baby bottles, nipples, pillowcase dresses for little girls, little shorts for the little boys, 3 laptop computers, and a full set of nursing textbooks for the library of Nakoma College of Nursing. Oh, and we also brought a partridge in a pear tree. Just kidding. But we came loaded. Our first mission project involved working with Nakoma Hospital, which each year provides 17,000 on-site visits, 60,000 outpatient visits, and 3,000 baby deliveries. Over almost 100 years, the hospital has developed from a single missionary doctor who is equipped only with the qualification in tropical medicine into a reasonably well-equipped 220-bed facility with all major departments and a very busy eye department. However, to be a patient at Nakoma Hospital is not at all like being a patient at Wyoming Medical Center. To begin, you would have walked a great distance from your village to get there, bringing everything that you need, perhaps on your head. The hospital would provide nothing for you, not even a drinking glass. Family members would do your laundry by hand under a covered shelter in the center of the hospital grounds, also preparing your meals there because the hospital can only afford to provide food for the pediatric unit. Family members would become your caregivers, while the nurses would only distribute medication and take care of dressing changes. If you had surgery, your surgical drain might be a feeding tube, with a sterile glove attached to the end, because this is the Malawian way, which means they have learned to be very resourceful with very few resources. Before you leave the hospital, you are expected to pay your bill, but you are unable to do so because you either have no income or your bill is the equivalent of many months of your income. But thankfully, you find out that your bill is covered by the missionary doctors or by donations which the hospital receives. You leave free from pain, and you are so grateful for people near and far who have made your medical care possible. One day, our mission team piled into the back of two small ambulances, along with medical staff from Nakoma Hospital, and headed for a remote village on a mountainside over a very bumpy road to conduct a mobile medical clinic at one of their new outreach sites. But apparently the word hadn't gotten out that a medical team was on their way, because when we got there, no one was there. As always, however, we were greeted by the friendly smiles of the few villagers and children who were out in the field with their cattle. And before we left, we joined them for a group picture in total awe of the beauty of their surroundings. Our second mission trip involved working with PB&J, the Peanut Butter and Jesus Project in Nakoma. Or at least I thought it was always and. But I was told that the, I can't think of a word for it, instead of and, it is a red cross, which signifies the blood of Jesus. So it's Peanut Butter, the Red Cross of Jesus, and so it's the Peanut Butter and Jesus Project. And it may sound familiar to you because each Saturday morning, women from our church prepare sandwich lunches for the homeless, but that's through our peanut butter and jelly ministry. But both ministries are about feeding the hungry. However, in Malawi, it becomes a ministry about feeding the starving, specifically children under 5 who are suffering from acute, severe malnutrition. To tell the story of PB&J is to introduce you to their CEO, Stan Smith, an attorney from the United States. In 2010, he participated in a program to end malaria deaths in Nakoma Valley. While reviewing the progress that had been made, starting with children under 5, someone suggested that they just skip this age bracket. Why? Because even with malaria medication, the children wouldn't survive due to their acute malnutrition. Stan was appalled. He had recently watched a 60-minute story about Plumpy Nut, a life-saving peanut paste which acts like penicillin in children under 5. So he knew there was a way to provide nutrition. He then used his legal expertise to overcome several objections and legal barriers, and by August of 2012, he had recruited a 24-year-old woman to make the paste. She began in a very small room in Nakoma. Using a KitchenAid blender, she made 10 jars on her first day. 10 jars is the equivalent of 50 sachets. A sachet is a 500-calorie serving of the peanut butter paste. It's also known as RUTF, which stands for ready-to-eat therapeutic food. Currently, 4,500 sachets a day are produced in their new plant, which is adjacent to Nakoma Hospital. They provide the immediate area with 20% of their product, while the rest is sold to 92 health centers throughout Malawi. Thousands of children benefit from this product every year because of Stan's belief that there is no such thing as a disposable life. Stan is asking our church to pray that those children who need the life-saving peanut butter paste to live will be reached in time. To complete the story of PB&J is to introduce you to Nicole Van Eltern, who came to Nakoma 5 years ago, intending to stay for only 3 months. However, she found out that God had a different plan for her life. When she first alive, she spent her spare time in the maternity ward feeding the babies. I would have done that too. A baby girl, later named Maria, had been found in the bushes, left there by her mentally unstable mother. Maria's grandmother was hesitant to take her to the village because she was so small. So Nicole agreed to care for Maria until she was a little bigger. While the weeks turned into months, Nicole tried to return Maria to the grandmother twice. Twice the grandmother returned Maria to Nicole, once with bloody diarrhea and once with malaria. When Nicole told her she would have to find someone else to care for her, the grandmother replied, "Well, I have already found someone." And Nicole said, "Great, who is it?" "Well, it's you. You are going to adopt her." Not only did Nicole adopt Maria, but also a second baby girl named Deanna. God's plan for Nicole's life didn't stop there. She is now a vital part of the Peanut Butter and Jesus Project, receiving financial assistance as she provides day-to-day care for 16 babies from the surrounding villages. She also sponsors 150 children living in the villages to make sure that they do not fall into malnourished states. Furthermore, because PB&J's fortified peanut butter is not appropriate for children under 6 months of age, Nicole assists pregnant women who have become malnourished so that their babies are born healthy and at a good weight. Providing these new mothers with the peanut paste helps them produce a good milk supply so that their babies do not become malnourished. Very soon, Nicole will be moving into a much larger home with her own little girls and the 16 babies. The home has been paid for by donors from the United States. Also, because Stan Smith feels it is important for people to come and see for themselves, a new guest house is being built for traveling mission teams. So like Nicole, if you go, maybe you will never go home again. We spent many hours with the babies. Needless to say, we all fell in love many times over while we were in Nakoma. We also accompanied Nicole on a PB&J trip to a remote health center where the student nurses helped assist with the nutritional assessments of the children because they have to qualify for the peanut butter taste, for the peanut butter paste. If you happened to be a photojournalist, you would have noticed four villagers laying on the grass. They were too ill with malaria to function. You would have seen tiny brown hands enveloped in loving white hands. You would have seen babies being weighed like fruit in the market, hanging on a hook by the knot in their fabric wrap and measured on a board. You would have photographed a crying baby who was instantly calmed by the delicious sweetness of the life-saving peanut butter paste, and you would have noticed the Bible verse on the back of Nicole's PB&J t-shirt that said, "Let the children come to me." Finally, you would have photographed the faces of mothers listening to the good news of forgiveness, peace, abundant, and eternal life, because you see, as with the peanut butter and jelly ministry of this church, the Peanut Butter and Jesus Project in Malawi is not only about peanut butter, it is also about the love of Jesus Christ. Having made many new friends and with so many wonderful memories in our hearts, we left Nakoma to begin our third mission project in Lilongwe, the capital of Malawi, where we participated with Ministry of Hope. Ministry of Hope opened in 1991 as a Christian response to the overwhelming number of orphans. They serve the people of Malawi in many ways. They sponsor two crisis nurseries, a mobile medical clinics, and feeding lines for orphaned children and villagers. To begin, we participated with the crisis nursery in Lilongwe, where they were caring for 12 babies to include one set of triplets. A baby may be placed in the crisis nursery for many reasons. It may be because the mother has died and at times no father is involved. If the father is involved, he is often unable to find a family member who can breastfeed the baby. The crisis nursery then becomes a life-saving resource for those living in remote areas without a clean water source and without the financial means to pay for or even to access formula. The staff care for the children, providing love, medical care, and nutrition until the age of approximately 2 years old. During this time frame, they are working with the family in hopes that the children can be reintegrated with their village. Their intention is not to take the babies for adoption. The babies come to them out of need. The student nurses in particular found it very difficult to leave the crisis nursery for the last time. One could say that they left their hearts in Malawi, but some are planning on going back to retrieve them. You see, because of their experience, they now realize that they have a servant's heart. Secondly, Ministry of Hope sponsors 9 mobile feeding lines 5 days a week, depending on the availability of food. There can be between 700 to 1,000 people in each line. During our stay, we participated in a feeding line for over 300 orphans, all cared for by family or caregivers. It took us several hours to reach the shelter where they are fed and also attend school. If you were one of these children, you would walk the distance to the shelter no matter how far, sometimes with a younger sibling in tow, maybe even one on your back. You would look forward to your day, surrounded by friends and caring adults. Your lunch, prepared by volunteers from the surrounding area, would typically include a helping of ensema made with maize flour, a staple of the Malawian diet. Although it has no nutritional value, it would fill you up, and you would accept a huge helping even if you were a very little guy, because this would most likely be the only meal that you would have that day. You might also have a helping of beans and perhaps a product called soya that tasted like chicken. Singing would be part of your day. You especially like walking in the light of God, what we heard this morning, which is what we heard when we pulled up in our bus next to this shelter with the 300 children sitting on the concrete floor singing for us, walking in the light of God, and I will never forget that. You like walking in the light of God because you can sing it in English and Chichewa, their native language. English is the language of the country, however. After lunch, you would hear the gospel, perhaps the story of Jonah and the whale, read to you in both languages, and you would be expected to repeat a given verse each time the teacher paused. And because members of a Presbyterian church in Arizona have installed solar panel lighting in your feeding center, you can come back at night and study. You are so thankful for Ministry of Hope because you know they will help you with your school fees, your school supplies, and clothing. And when a mission team comes to visit, you learn a new song called "Our God is an Awesome God," and you joyfully sing it on your way home. Last but not least, Ministry of Hope sponsors 4 mobile medical clinics each month in remote locations if there are funds, as each clinic costs at least $1,100. During our stay, we participated in a clinic attended by 819 villagers, not counting all the children. If you were a villager seeking medical care, you would have gladly walked all night to get there because you haven't been seen since the beginning of the last rainy season in December. The roads are impassable during the rainy season, and we went in April. You must remember to take your health passport with you. It has your medical information on it, and without it, you cannot be helped. Although it only costs the equivalent of a quarter to buy a new one, that is totally beyond your reach. The medical team is prepared to help you, to do clinical assessments, to take your blood pressure, and to test for malaria, among other things. Your medications are free because you have no money. You know that even though the line is very long, the highly qualified medical personnel and the student nurses volunteering their services will not leave until every single person is served. You watch your children enjoying the company of the traveling mission team, singing with them and for them, taking selfies, and playing soccer with a makeshift ball. At the end of the day, you are hot, tired, and hungry, but there is no doubt in your heart that those both near and far care about you and yours. I hope you have enjoyed this journey with me. To say that this trip was awesome is an understatement. The beauty of my experience and of the people I met are beyond the power of words to describe. Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa, and Nakoma, where we spent a good deal of our time, is known as the warm heart of Malawi. Many times we were the recipients of the hospitality of our friends, being invited to the most humble of homes, to tea and crumpets, to a Malawian potluck at the hospital, and to a feast featuring freshly squeezed guava juice. I have been asked if I ever felt threatened while we were there. On the contrary, I felt extraordinarily blessed to be on the receiving end of their love, their generosity, and their hospitality. The Bible tells us that in Jesus there is no difference between Jew and Greek, slave and free person, male and female. We are all the same in Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us that God holds the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind in his hands. On earth, our hands become God's hands. Everything that we do and everywhere we do it, for even the least of God's people, we do also for him. Amen.
Thank you, Lonnie. That was great. I wanted to hear more. So downstairs after the service, you can see her pictures and enjoy the refreshments. We welcome new members by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. To accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian Church your home, please talk with our pastor or one of the elders. Let's stand now and sing our hymn of dedication found on page 677 in our hymnal. Thank you.
now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.